So I'm speaking with Helen Evans about her book, The Shakespeare Silence, but I think we ought to have a bit of background, Helen. So tell us about your first writing experiences, and how old were you?
I was 6 years old.
Oh, that's about 10 years ago then.
Yeah, thank you. And I wrote a story about Mr. Dust. Ooh. And we actually still have the books in the family. They were about 3 centimetres by 3 centimetres in size. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Dust was blown by the wind and he had different adventures.
Sounds like that could have been quite exciting. For Mr. Dust, I mean.
Oh, yeah, for him, yes, certainly, yes. And I'm glad we've kept the books.
Yeah, yeah. So how many did you do?
I think we have got three. They were handed over to me by my mum, and then they are in a box somewhere, very safe.
Probably in the attic.
Probably, yes.
Mr. Dust in the Attic. I can see another title here.
Yeah, you've got something.
There could be a sequel, couldn't there? Or a prequel. Yes. You can put all these ideas in your head, and I shall claim some of the royalties. No. Right, so then time moves on, and I suppose we have to say that, given the title of your self-published book is The Shakespeare Silence, I guess that kind of says that you are interested in Shakespeare somewhat.
That's right, yes. I always have loved Shakespeare from school, which I know is a bit unusual, and it usually puts people off Shakespeare, but I did a master's degree, a degree in English, and then in 2006 I did a master's degree in Stratford at the Shakespeare Institute, writing on Shakespeare's late plays. So he's always been in my life, and I've lived in Stratford now for 20 years.
So do you have any favourite Shakespeare plays? Is that a good question?
I really like Pericles, which is not one that many people know. Maybe that's a little bit why. I researched it a lot for my master's degree.
Yeah, right.
And it's about the father-daughter relationship between Pericles and his daughter Marina.
Yep.
They become separated, and then in the end they find one another again.
Yeah, I remember when we were at grammar school, we used to get complimentary tickets for the theatre, and my earliest recollection of Shakespeare is Ian Holm playing Richard III in 1964-65. It was around the time of the quarter centenary, you know, the 400 years.
That's very special,
isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and it was the trilogy. There was a historical trilogy, and he was playing Richard III. And I remember thinking, you know, we'd all learnt the lines, especially to the opening soliloquy, you know, now is the winter of our discontent made glorious summer by this house of York. And he comes on, slightly hunched, because that is the character, wearing black, and the spotlight's on him. That was quite impressive.
Yes.
And the only other Shakespeare I can remember going to would have been Hamlet. I thought, this is long, 4 hours. Oh, David Warner was playing Hamlet, I think, that production. And the only other one I can remember is going to see Julius Caesar. And Timothy Pickett-Smith, who was the head boy at KES when I was there, and was an actor himself, who recently died.
Yes.
He was playing, I think he was playing the part of the person in the Senate who was the one that makes the approach to Caesar, which is the key to them getting the knives out. I forget the name of the character now. And I always say about Timothy Pickett-Smith, do you know, he and I both won the Edgar Flower Reading Prize in 1964. He won it for the sixth form, and I think I won it for the fourth.
You and have a link.
And then I say, whatever became of him? No, yeah. I don't say that now. Because he died.
No, of course not.
A couple of years back.
No.
So Shakespeare's there at the heart of it all. So that must have, because you'd researched that, I suppose that became kind of like a natural subject for you to just go a bit further with. So your book isn't exactly set in Shakespeare's time, is it?
Oh, no. It's a time shift novel. It's set in Stratford in No, not time travel, no.
Sorry,
time shift. So time shift, in Stratford in 1864, which was the time of the 300th anniversary of Shakespeare's birth.
Yes.
And it was the biggest festival that Stratford, biggest event Stratford's ever had before and since. And then it's also set in present-day Stratford.
Yes.
There's a family link between the two time periods. And set in present-day Stratford, it's also at the time of the Shakespeare Festival birthday parade.
Yes.
There are two main characters in 1864.
Mm-hmm.
Robert, who's an architect and a member of the local council and festival committee, and Anne Drew, who is one of the first female photographers. And she is a very young widow and was married to the mayor's son. So both are heavily invested in the festival's success. And then in the present day, there are again two main characters. There is Christopher, who is a descendant of Robert. And there is Nancy, who's an American PhD student. And they become aware of a death that happened in 1864 Stratford. And they investigate, and there are physical and verbal attacks.
Okay, yeah.
Both time periods.
Yeah, and it's interesting your reference to the American link as well, because Harvard House, of course, is here in Stratford, isn't it? And was the railway, I suppose the railway came into town then, the old Stratford Midland Junction Railway, as was, because you've got the Great Western Line, and then that line as well. So, yeah, it would have been quite an interesting time period to have researched, wouldn't it? You must have found that quite interesting, the town that you now live in, to research its history.
Oh, yes, yes. Parts of it haven't changed very much, but then parts such as Bridge Street have changed a lot.
Mm.
It used to have the
middle
row, yes, in the middle of Bridge Street, and that's why it appears a lot bigger than it should do,
we're
a lot wider.
We're on our own now. Excuse the noise, ladies and gentlemen, that was. We're in a cafe. It's gone quiet now, so we're all right.
Yeah, not too bad creating.
No, exactly.
And people watching and maybe writing.
Yes. Yeah. So the history of Stratford.
Yeah, so I visited the archives a lot, took photos, videos, and made written observations of Stratford. And I have my present day and my characters from 1864. I have them walk the same streets and comment on, you know, the differences.
I like to play up the
differences and similarities between the two times.
I think it's always interesting to try and place people in if it's a real place, it's easy to follow, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like if it's a made-up town, you could have called it somewhere else. And you'd have said this street and that street, and people have been thinking, do you know, that sounds awfully like they're trying to describe Stratford by another name.
I want people to know
this is Stratford.
I'm being very obvious about it.
Yes.
Stratford, and I want people, readers, and some people who have read it already, have commented that they have actually walked around the streets I've mentioned, I have got my characters turning left as they're walking into a particular street.
Yes.
So people can do that, because I know people like to do it. I like to do it with books. I like to go to the places they have referenced.
And do the thing physically.
Yeah.
In fact, back in the summer, I interviewed a lady called Rebecca Tope, who's written several novels based in the Cotswolds, murder mysteries, in the sort of Agatha Christie-type style.
Oh,
and her main character is a house sitter.
Yes.
So she house sits, and then strange things happen.
Oh yes, that's ideal, isn't it?
And she identifies local places like Chipping Campden, Broad Marston, but she usually makes the house like a house that's either no longer there, or inserts one.
Yes.
In a field somewhere close by.
Yes.
So that there's no
tourist problem.
Real link.
Yes, I've got a house in mine in both periods as well,
I
know which house I have seen from the outside that it would be.
Yes.
I've had people ask me, but I would not say exactly where it was. In an area of. Could give the area.
Yes, because otherwise you're going to run into.
You don't want to cause trouble for people, no.
Well, no, not really. No, no,
not
you don't.
At all.
No, you don't. No, you don't. So that sounds. And is the matter resolved at the end? I mean, the end.
Oh, I wouldn't like.
It's a happy ending, is it?
I wouldn't like to say, really. That would spoil things.
By the book.
But certainly the place is all as it is.
Yes.
But the characters, and there is a murder in it.
Of course.
That is all fictionalised.
Of course.
I do have Charles Dickens in it, though,
do
briefly.
You?
Because
does he come visiting on the train?
Well, he does, because
he didn't like the trains, you know.
Well, he really did come to Stratford for the 1864 festival, so I thought I would put him in because he made a big point of coming from London to Stratford. He arrived late in Stratford because he'd been to the London celebrations for the 300th anniversary. He said they were dreadful in London. He came to the ones in Stratford and really enjoyed himself. Obviously, everything that happens to him in my book is all fictionalised.
Of course. So, yeah, that's quite a... Yeah, because he had... I think he was involved in a very bad accident. I can't think of the accident he was involved in. And it put him off, I think, rail travel. I'm not sure whether it was after that. But anyway, that's by the by. Yeah, so that's an interesting link with Dickens, isn't it? Dickens and Shakespeare in the same book. That's very good. That's very good. So, is there going to be a follow-up in mind, or would it have to be a separate story?
Well, I am writing my second book at the moment. Mm-hmm. I've decided that I really like the time shift idea. It suits me.
Yes.
I'm very interested in past and present links.
Yes.
So, and I want to write about Stratford, where I live, what I know, and tourists and residents are really quite passionate about the town. So it's going to be set in Stratford in 1938-39 and present day again.
Okay.
I quite like the link to present day.
Yeah.
I have found out something really interesting about that time period in Stratford. You don't think of Stratford in that time period.
No, no.
I won't say what it is, though.
No.
I will, though, have about three or so chapters from Coventry, where I was born and bred, set in that time period again.
Yeah. Well, and you've probably got lots of info to hand about Coventry's experiences from 38 onwards, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Yes, my parents and aunties and uncles all still live there, of course.
Yes,
it's only my generation who have moved further away from Coventry.
Yeah.
But I know one of my main characters I know already, and she'll be one of the first female vets to qualify from the Royal Veterinary College.
Does she meet up with
London.
James Herriot at any point? Up in
Who knows? Who knows?
Who knows? Yes, you could have one fictional character meets another one. But there you go. Yeah, so that sounds quite an interesting... have you got a title for that one? Or is it going to work
To be honest, the title will probably be the last thing that I
think about, because you'll know how it's all gone.
Exactly.
And you'll read it, and then you'll... Yes.
Yes, yes. But I know that it will have... a part linked to Shakespeare again, in that the Memorial Theatre is going to be a very important building
in the
story.
Yeah.
In the past, and as I say, I'll be writing in the present day as well. Yes.
So people can get their signed copy of your book, The Shakespeare Silence by H.M. Evans at W.H. Smith's, can't they, on Saturday the...
The 8th of December, which is during
Stratford's
Victorian Christmas Festival.
Very good.
Yeah.
So,
and I'll be there from 1 till 3 in the afternoon to do the book signing.
You've got the afternoon shift.
I've asked for the afternoon
shift. Yes. Well, very sensible. Very sensible. So let's just come to your musical choices. Ghost Town by the Specials. Stratford, a ghost town.
Well, I was born and bred in Coventry, and this song was around, and the group were around when I was at school.
Sure.
So it was the talk of everything at school.
Yeah.
I know that maybe adult residents weren't keen on Ghost Town, but the school children were so proud, really excited. And a little tiny story for me is that I had some shoes bought for me, and they were two different tones of brown, dark brown and a mid brown, and the genre was two-tone.
Yes.
And people started talking about my shoes, linking it to the two-tone and the specials. So for us children, it was fantastic.
They
made
from the specials
from Coventry. This is it. They were all born in Coventry, and it was the most exciting thing for us in our lives that they put Coventry on the map for the children.
Of course,
certainly.
Yes. It's like Liverpool and the Beatles and so forth. Got it. Okay, so Mr. Blue Sky by ELO.
Yes. This one is a song that I would listen to if I need maybe a bit of a lift in my writing.
Okay, right.
So this one helps me with my writing.
This is your pick-me-up song. Oh,
it is actually. Yes, it's certainly one of them. Yes, and I did have a look at when it was written.
Yes.
So I'm very interested in lyrics of songs.
Yes.
Maybe more than actually the listening to them. I'm very interested in lyrics, and apparently Jeff Lynne wrote it when he was locked away in a Swiss chalet and it'd been horrible misty weather, and suddenly the sun came out and he wrote it because there was Mr. Blue Sky. And I just think something wonderful has come from something so simple.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Really like that.
Absolutely,
and,
In fact, when he was with the Travelling Wilburys, when they did Volume 3, they didn't do Volume 2, they did Volume 1 and Volume 3, they just met up for 10 days at Bob Dylan's retreat somewhere and just recorded about 12 songs. They just made 12 songs up over the 10 days of them. That's the time they all had.
That's so impressive.
Yeah, they had 10 days and they did an album.
Yeah.
That says something,
doesn't
it?
That is true genius, really, isn't it? You can do that,
They were doing that. And of course, Jeff Lynne was involved in that, as you know. Because he was a Travelling Wilbury. In fact, he's one of the few remaining, because most of them have died, except for him, and Bob Dylan is still alive. Tom Petty died recently. George Harrison's gone. Roy Orbison's no more. There you are, you see. There you are. So, right, that's the ELO. Now then, on the sunny side of the street, well, I suppose that's got the same sort of connotations as Mr. Blue Sky.
To be honest, it has actually, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And I just really like, I mean, listen to all of her songs, really.
She's got a sad life, isn't she, Billie Holiday?
Oh, yes. Very interesting, yes. Probably all was a bit much for her, maybe fame was, I don't know.
Could be.
I don't know. But I just like, the simple sentiment of the walk on the sunny side of the street rather than the shady side of the street, if you like.
Yeah.
And I like things that have stood the test of time as well.
Yeah.
This was 1936.
Yep.
She recorded this one.
And then another life that was quite sad was Amy Winehouse, isn't it? Which is your fourth choice.
Yes, I have. Yes, I'm not sure about this this link going on here, but just chose this one because I know that she didn't actually write the song Valerie.
No.
Written by lead singer of the Zootons.
You're telling me.
Is it? Yeah. The way you pronounce it, I don't know.
That sounds right.
Yeah, but I have listened to that as well. It's about a man longing for a previous girlfriend, but Amy Winehouse has such an expressive, unique voice.
Yes.
And you feel she feels the pain, shall we say, of what she sings.
Yes.
Huge personality, passion in her voice, and I think that's what I really, really am attracted to, anything she did.
And in fact, that's often the case with most of us, isn't it? We hear something for the first time and we think, do you know, there's just something about that that's quite appealing to me.
Mm.
You either like it or you don't.
Yes.
Somebody once said, there's two sorts of music. There's music that touches you and there's music that doesn't.
Yes, so and that's all that matters.
So you don't have this genre, that genre, because you can be quite eclectic.
Yes.
I like the word eclectic.
Yes.
And most popular musicians will have all had classical training.
That's true.
Most of them will have got very good background in their musical choices, and they just happen to make a living playing this.
But they could have equally done something else.
They could have done that.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So it's the same with writing, you see. Do you see yourself as a novelist, then?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, the reason I have written a novel and will continue to do so, rather than short stories, is that I love reading novels, yes. And I always find short stories, I always want more from a short story.
Yes.
Yeah, I like to.
So you don't see yourself doing a kind of sequence of books with the same character, like Morse or something like that sort?
Unless I were asked to do that by an agent, I am about to send the Shakespeare Silence out to agents,
right, and, they might say,
and
hey,
hope. And they if they liked a particular character, then of course I'd be advised. But otherwise, if I'm writing as a self-published author, I probably won't. I will probably keep this choosing different time periods.
Okay.
But I will always have a strong female character in the past and the present, and the one from the past will always be one of the first at doing whatever it is.
Oh, right. So
I've decided.
Like the first vet, the first.
Yeah, the first vet, the first in the Shakespeare Silence. It's the first, one of the first female photographers.
Yes, yes.
So I've decided that's something
interested in. That'll be the link, won't it? When the A-level question is posed, describe H.M. Evans's style. The answer they'll be looking for is the preeminent role of a female in the first time in a particular role.
Yes. You're then, very kind.
And then illustrated. And then illustrated, by several examples.
Oh, I hope there will be several.
And they get their degree, wouldn't they?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's how I see it going. Yeah.
Yes.
In my dreams.
Yes. I wrote a poem once, and I always joke to myself, this will be an A-level question in years to come. People will say, what was the author thinking? I don't really know. I mean, he'd got nothing else to do.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He just thought, I'll just write this poem. I try to make something of it that it isn't. That's what happens, isn't it?
Mm.
Something is made something of when the person writing it at the time had no such thought.
Oh, yes.
What was this author thinking?
Yes, and that's exactly what's happened to